Oh yeah, no, we got it.
You got it, right? Okay.
Yep.
Okay. So we are going to start Brahma Samhita today. And Dandavats to everyone on the call, all the Vaishnavas. This is one of the best association I've had, this group. So we'll start Brahma Samhita. Start off with the prayers. Om Ajnanati Nirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Sri Juta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschayate Deshatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. My obeisance is to my spiritual master, my Siksha Guru, who gave me this gift of Krishna consciousness. I would like to pay my obeisances to His Holiness Kamal Krishna Maharaj, Rompat Swami Maharaj, Bhaktichara Maharaj, and Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj, who have given beautiful seminars on this topic online, and obeisances to Srila Prabhupada for giving us Brahma Samhita, for revealing the scripture to all of us, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur for writing such beautiful commentaries in English, Bhakti Vinod Thakur for writing commentaries in Bengali, which was later the commentaries were later written by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati in English. Actually, before that, it was written by Bhakti Vinod Thakur in Bengali. And much before that, these commentaries were written by Jiva Goswami in Sanskrit. So, obeisances to all the spiritual masters who have helped us to get this beautiful scripture, Brahma Samhita. So, Brahma Samhita, as it says, is the prayers offered by Lord Brahma. And this scripture is considered very, very special in our sampradaya. So today, since it will be an introductory class, we'll just see a little bit about the history of how we got Brahma Samhita. So all of us know the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lived for 24 years in Navadvip. During his initial years, he spent most of his time in Navadvip. And then later he took sannyas. And once he took sannyas, because his mother, Sachi Devi, she asked him to live in Jagannath Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to live in Jagannath Puri instead of going to Vrindavan. But of course, he makes a trip to Vrindavan. Similarly, much later, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also makes a trip to South India in the pretext of going in search of his brother Vishwarup. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had an elder brother by the name Vishwarup. And Vishwarup had taken sannyas much earlier than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So later he also left this material world. But this news of Vishwarup actually leaving this material world was not known to many people. So in the pretext of going to South India to find his brother, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually left Jagannath Puri after a few years of taking sannyas. Now, the reason why he went to South India is multifold. One reason is to, of course, visit all the holy places in South India. He's visited so many temples in South India, actually. More than 70-80 major temples have been visited by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At least 70 have been recorded in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami himself tells that it is just not 70. I mean, he doesn't say the number 70, but if you count the number of temples in that chapter, you'll get about 72 or something. But it is not that he visited only this many temples. He visited so many temples. But Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was able to recount a few of the temples that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited during the South India Yatra. So when he made his tour to South India, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is the route he traveled. Actually, he started out from Jagannath Puri. Then he went to Andhra Pradesh. You see, Orissa and Andhra, they're actually close to each other, adjacent states. So from Orissa, he went to Andhra Pradesh. And in Andhra Pradesh, he visited many important temples like Sri Kurmam and Ahobila Narasimha, Tirupati, like that. So many important temples. Vantimitta Rama Temple. So like that, there are many important temples in Andhra Pradesh. Even Simhachalam, actually, that Narasimha Dev, who opened his mouth, Panaka Narasimha. Like that, he covered all the major temples in Andhra Pradesh. And then he came to Tamil Nadu. In Tamil Nadu, he covered all the temples, all the Divyadesams, important Divyadesams. And then he entered Kerala. So if you visualize the India map, you can understand he started from Orissa. He's coming to Andhra Pradesh. And then he goes down to Tamil Nadu. Then he reaches Kerala. Okay. Once he reaches Kerala, again he starts traveling north. Because you see, Cape Comorin is the southernmost tip. So border of Kerala and Tamil Nadu. No, that forms the border of Kerala and Tamil Nadu, Kanyakumari area. So from there, he starts traveling north. He covers entire Kerala. He covers entire Karnataka. Then he goes to Maharashtra. And then finally he reaches Orissa. So this is the path that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took during his South India Yatra. So like this, in his South India Yatra, he's covered almost all the important temples. Then, of course, he made a separate yatra to Vrindavan, and also we know many stories of the different places that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has visited. So now, during his South India tour, he came to a particular place that is in the border of Tamil Nadu and Kerala. So this place is called as Thiruvattaru. If you can always go and Google Thiruvattaru. It's a very beautiful place. It is actually in the Kanyakumari district. It forms the border. If you see temple, it's like the temple is in Kerala architecture. It's not like the Tamil Nadu style Gopurams. You know, they're very different. Kerala style temples are very different. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he reached this particular place called Thiruvattaru. So here the temple, the deity is called as Adi Keshava. The deity present here is called as Adi Keshava. And Adi Keshava is in a reclining posture, you know, like a sleeping posture, like we see Ranganatha and other deities. They are sleeping on Adi Shesh. So like that, Adi Keshava deity is a very ancient deity, very, very ancient deity, and he is reclining on Adi Shesh. And the beauty is that this deity is made up of thousands of Shaligram Shilas. He's a deity completely made of Shaligram Shila. So it's a very beautiful temple, and the deity here is called as Adi Keshava, and this place is called as Thiruvattaru. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he reached Thiruvattaru, which is in the border of Easter place. Then he reached this place. He had nice conversations with the people there, with the devotees there. And then he found a particular scripture there. See, in Kerala temples, in those ancient temples, they have preserved a lot of these palm leaves. In many places, actually, not only Kerala, but you see in many ancient temples, you will see that, they have preserved ancient scriptures. Like, for example, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's South India Yatra, you'll see that he has retrieved certain scriptures like Kurma Purana. He's retrieved scriptures like we are talking about Brahma Samhita now. He's also got Krishna Karnamrata. That was actually close to Maharashtra. That's where he found Krishna Karnamrata. So like this, many scriptures are preserved, in ancient times. So when he reached this particular place of Thiruvattaru, he found the one chapter of the Brahma Samhita. So Brahma Samhita has 100 chapters. Okay, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, actually only one chapter is available now. It's not that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just picked only 5th chapter and came. No, it's not like that. In the entire Brahma Samhita, only 5th chapter is available for us today, or in this time, place, circumstance, only 5th chapter is available. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu obtained the 5th chapter of the Brahma Samhita, and then he saw the scripture, he went into ecstasy. So I just wanted to read some very nice verses as written by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami about how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu received, I mean, saw the scripture, because it's always very beautiful to hear directly from the person who's narrating the story. So I'll just read some verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is Madhya Leela, chapter 9, 234 to 238. Okay? So these verses say, that very night, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his assistant Krishnadas arrived at the bank of the Payaswini River. They took their bath and then went to see the temple of Adi Keshava. When the Lord saw the Adi Keshava temple, he was immediately overwhelmed with ecstasy. Offering various obeisances and prayers, he chanted and danced. All the people were very greatly astonished to see the ecstatic pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They all received the Lord very well. In the temple of Adi Keshava, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discussed spiritual matters among highly advanced devotees. While there, he found a chapter of the Brahma Samhita. So he finds a chapter of Brahma Samhita inside this temple. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was greatly happy to find a chapter of the scripture and symptoms of ecstatic transformation, trembling, tears, perspiration, trance and jubilation were manifest in his body. So in the entire history of what we know, you know, of all that, of all the great souls that have incarnated in this world, we have never heard of anyone getting symptoms of ecstasy by seeing a scripture. This is the only person. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, of course, Krishna himself. So he is very, very special, and he manifested symptoms of ecstasy seeing a scripture. Usually people, they say they manifest symptoms of ecstasy when they chant the holy names or when they see a deity in the temple. But this is very rare, to see a scripture and manifest symptoms of ecstasy. So that's the speciality of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But one may ask, you know, why would somebody, especially why would Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifest symptoms of ecstasy by seeing this particular literature? The reason is because it's a very authoritative scripture. And there are three important principles which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to establish in this world, and these three principles are actually very well established in Brahma Samhita. So actually that is the reason why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, immediately when he saw the scripture, he started manifesting ecstatic symptoms. So what are those three things? The first thing is Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's just not an incarnation, but he's the source of all incarnations, avatari. So this is established in the Brahma Samhita. And this is one of the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come here to establish the supremacy of Krishna. So he sees, okay, my mission is to establish the supremacy of Krishna, and the scripture also talks about the supremacy of Krishna. And the second thing is that Brahma Samhita itself gives the philosophy of Achintya Bheda Bheda. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here to establish this philosophy, that is simultaneous oneness and difference. So this is presented within Brahma Samhita. The third thing is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here to give Prema Bhakti, pure devotion, as rendered by Srimati Radharani and the Gopis of Vrindavan. So when we read Brahma Samhita, we come across this. What is Prema Bhakti? What is Goloka Vrindavan? How are the associates of the Lord serving him in Goloka Vrindavan? So all these we will find in Brahma Samhita. So there was immediate reaction from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he saw the scripture. So not only that, I mean, these three reasons are good enough, but there's something even more, it's like an icing on the cake, is that the teaching or the Brahma Samhita was spoken by Brahma himself. So whatever philosophy Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give was confirmed by the founder Acharya of our Sampradaya. So he was very ecstatic. Okay, Brahma himself is confirming all that I have come here to establish. So because these prayers are spoken by Brahma, the Brahma Samhita are the prayers spoken by Brahma. So, and we follow the Brahma Sampradaya because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he did take initiation in the Sampradaya. So we see that Brahma himself has established these truths already. So that's what the Brahma Samhita is going to cover. Another beautiful thing about Brahma Samhita is that, you know, you see many scriptures, like even talk about any Purana, including Bhagavatam or so many other scriptures, you will see that it is always not in first person. That is, in many places, you will see so-and-so person said it to someone. know, like that second, third person could be talking. But whereas Brahma Samhita, like the Bhagavad, I mean, like you can say like the Bhagavad Gita, Brahma himself is saying, like how Krishna himself says, right, Bhagavad Gita, like that Brahma himself is saying, Brahma himself is giving you the entire 62 verses. He is reciting the prayers to Govinda. So that's why Brahma Samhita very considered even more, very nice and very important, because it's spoken in first person. Brahma is authoritatively confirming these 62 verses. So that is another speciality of Brahma Samhita. So once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he received this copy, what he did was he had one person make copies of this, copy of the original scripture. He didn't carry away the original scripture, rather he got it copied. He got some copies done and he took it back with him when he went to Jagannath Puri, when he completed his yatra, and he gave it to all of his intimate associates. So the intimate associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like Ramananda Rai. Ramananda Rai is a very close associate of Mahaprabhu, and actually just the previous chapter of the South India Yatra in Chaitanya Charitamrita, if you read, it talks about the Chaitanya Charitamrita tells us the conversation between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai. Ramananda Rai is the authority on conjugal relationships, or any the highest truths, actually, you can say. Ramananda Rai is a very important associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he got that scripture, he goes and tells Ramananda Rai, when I got the scripture, I was thinking of you, because you can relate to it so nicely. So he gives a copy to Ramananda Rai, and he also gives some copies to Swarup Damodar, who is one of his close associates, and Swarup Damodar actually preserved all these copies. And later he asked some of his associates like Vasudev Dutt to take copies, and then because even Vasudev Dutt is a very, very, he's a very pure devotee, and he can appreciate what is written in the Brahma Samhita. So he asked Vasudev Dutt to take copies. And not only that, after Swarup Damodar had made several copies, the copies were distributed among many devotees, and it was broadcast very nicely. So like this scripture became a very important literature in our sampradaya. And then later we know that Jiva Goswami, as I mentioned at the beginning of the class, that Jiva Goswami wrote a beautiful Sanskrit commentary, and then it was later written in Bengali and English. And today we are able to read the Brahma Samhita by the mercy of all these acharyas, starting from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, in fact, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he comments about this book, about Brahma Samhita. He says that this book, Brahma Samhita, is very comparable to the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's very similar to Srimad Bhagavatam. Just that Srimad Bhagavatam is a Purana, while this one is a Pancharatra kind of a text. So that's the only difference. But the quality of the book is so good, or the contents of the book is so good and so important, that it is comparable to the Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, they actually go one step further, and he says that, you know, it's like, if Srimad Bhagavatam is like sandalwood, when you rub the sandalwood on a surface, you get sandalwood paste, right, which is very fragrant. So this Brahma Samhita is like the sandalwood paste. It's got all the essence of the Bhagavatam in it. Like, if you say the Vedas are like milk, and you say condensed milk is Bhagavatam, this is nice milk kova, this Brahma Samhita, nice sweetened condensed kova. So much essence from all this, from Bhagavatam is actually present in Brahma Samhita, and Brahma Samhita is hence very important. I said, Jiva Goswami got it, he wrote Sanskrit commentaries, and then Bhaktivinoda wrote Bengali commentaries, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati wrote English commentaries. Now, talking about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's English commentaries, which is available to us today, actually when the disciples of Prabhupada came across the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's commentaries in English, they were discussing with Prabhupada. So this is something that happened. They were discussing with Prabhupada, and they were actually thinking to change the words a bit, because to edit the book a bit, because see, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's English is so high, everyone knows that. It's very, very, very complicated English. It's very difficult to understand. Actually, you need a dictionary with you if you have to read the commentaries of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, very high English. So, Prabhupada, you know, they were requesting him from Prabhupada to write a simplified commentaries to this book, but Prabhupada said no. And he said, I won't write commentaries because my Guru Maharaj has already written commentaries, and he's written very high English, that is true. But I would suggest that you should not make any changes to the commentaries, or do not edit any words. Because, you know, sometimes when the word is too complicated, if you edit it, it becomes simpler for people to read, right? But he said specifically don't edit any words. The reason he gave is because, you know, these words, they do not have a suitable replacement. If you try to replace it with something else, it will not be very appropriate. The message will not go across properly. So just leave it as it is and publish it as it is. Don't change anything. And but the disciples were like, you know, it's not only just the language is complicated, the subject is also very heavy, so it's going to be tough. And then Prabhupada said, okay, don't, you know, release it, release the book to the, as it is, you know, like in the sense in one shot. Don't do like the entire book at a time. Instead, what you could do is you can really release two or three pages at a time. That means two or three verses at a time, so that people don't get too puzzled. Because he himself, Prabhupada himself says in one of these conversations about the how they decided to disseminate Brahma Samhita, he himself says actually sometimes it gets very puzzling because the language is heavy and the subject matter is also heavy. And he says even I had that experience with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, as he was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disciple. You know, I get puzzled when he speaks something very high. So that's what Prabhupada said, that sometimes it could be puzzling. So what you could do is you can start releasing a few verses slowly. Don't do it all at a time. And the disciples actually started, you know, writing these verses one page at a time in Back to Godhead. So that was how first we used to receive Brahma Samhita verses. It was not that Brahma Samhita was released as a book. Actually, initially, just a few pages would appear in Back to Godhead so that, you know, people can absorb what is written in that. And then slowly, much later, actually, the book was published by BBT. But before that, it was not. It was just one at a time, slowly, few verses in Back to Godhead. So finally, the book was published, you know, once people began to accept what was written or they could understand a bit of what was there. So, like, you know, I like how in Bhagavatam it is said, Srinvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridayam Tistohi Abhadrani Vidunoti Suhrut Svatam. That means Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma in our heart. And he cleanses the desires for material enjoyment for the heart of the devotee. And for a devotee who has this urge to receive and hear his messages, you know, Krishna himself is there to help. So basically, the more we hear, the more the cleansing process happens. So that's what Prabhupada said. You have to hear again and again, or you have to read again and again. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's purports are like that. It's not like you can just read it once and you get it. Actually, Prabhupada's purports are very simple, you know, simple language, I would say. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's purports are very complicated language. So that's what Prabhupada said. You have to read again and again. Only then, as you read again and again, your heart gets cleansed, and then you'll be able to get more and more realization. Actually, that's true even with Prabhupada's purports. Every time you read it, it's very new, and you get more realizations every time you read it again and again. So as our heart gets cleansed, we can feel more closer to Krishna. I hope when we are having our reading and discussion, this eventually happens, that we can understand something from Brahma Samhita. So I wanted to make an you know, talk about one more verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. He makes this declaration: there is no scripture equal to the Brahma Samhita as far as the final spiritual conclusion is concerned. Indeed, that scripture is the supreme revelation of all the glories of Lord Govinda, for it reveals the topmost knowledge about him. Since all conclusions are briefly presented in the Brahma Samhita, it is essential among all the Vaishnava literatures. So this you will find in Chaitanya Charitamrita, stated by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, that all the conclusions are briefly presented in the Brahma Samhita, and it is an essential Vaishnava literature. So why do I say briefly presented? Actually, if you see the content of Brahma Samhita, you'll see that it is presented in brief in 62 sutras. Actually, these verses are 62 sutras. Sutra means a concise statement that expresses something, a great truth. within it. So that is a sutra. So as I mentioned, Brahma Samhita, if you look at the entire volume, it is 100 chapters. But we are studying only chapter 5, because only chapter 5 is revealed to us in this world at this particular time. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought it for us. And this chapter 5 has 62 verses or 62 sutras. And each of these sutras are very heavy in matter. Okay, they have a lot to convey, each of these sutras. In fact, Jiva Goswami, we spoke about these 62 sutras, I just wanted to say, Jiva Goswami, just for the first verse, Ishvara Paramakrishna, he goes on and on and on with the commentary. He doesn't stop at all. So pages together he goes on, just talking about that one verse. So each verse is packed with so much information in the Brahma Samhita, all the 62 verses. So I also wanted to tell, because since we are going to discuss verse by verse from next week, I also wanted to tell you briefly what are the contents, what to expect from Brahma Samhita. What is the layout of Brahma Samhita? How is it designed? You know, like for example, what do the first few verses talk about? What are the last few verses talking about? So that we get an idea of what to expect from this book. I know everybody has read Brahma Samhita, but still I'll tell. So I'll first tell Prabhupada's words, and then we'll get into a split up of the different verses. So Prabhupada says in his purport, he says, that first chapter is the philosophical conclusion, that is Brahma Samhita, that we have today. It is the philosophical conclusion of the Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva, that is simultaneous oneness and difference is presented. The chapter also presents different methods of devotional service. Let's see what all it contains. Prabhupada has given a nice write-up on what is the content of Brahma Samhita. So he says the entire philosophical conclusions of Achintya Bheda Abheda is present in the chapter. It also presents methods of devotional service, the 18-syllable Vedic hymn, the Gopal Gayatri as well as the Kam Gayatri, actually both are present in the Brahma Samhita. Discourses on the soul, the super soul, the fruit of activity, an explanation of Kama Gayatri, Kama Bija, and the original Mahavishnu. Detailed description of the spiritual world, specifically Goloka Vrindavan. Brahma Samhita also explains demigods like Ganesha, Garbhodakashayi Vishnu, the origin of Gayatri Mantra, the form of Govinda, his transcendental position and his abode, living entities, highest goal, goddess Durga, the meaning of austerity, actually even Lord Shiva, five gross elements, love of Godhead, about impersonal Brahman, the initiation of Lord Brahma, how Brahma got initiated first, the vision of the transcendental love enabling one to see the Lord, steps of devotional service, the mind, Yoga Nitra, goddess of fortune, devotional service and spontaneous ecstasy, Taganuga Bhakti, actually, Prema Bhakti, as I was telling, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give that. It says, devotional service and spontaneous ecstasy, the different incarnations, beginning from Lord Ramachandra, different deities, the conditioned soul and his duties, the truth about Lord Vishnu, prayers and Vedic hymns, Lord Shiva, Vedic literature, personalism, impersonalism, good behavior, and many other subjects are discussed. So it has everything practically. There is also a description of the sun and of universal form of the Lord. All these subjects are conclusively explained in a nutshell. Everything is so concise, compacted within just 62 verses in the Brahma Samhita. So he says, it is the gist of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So as I gave this example of condensed milk and kova. So it is like that. And Prabhupada makes this request to everyone. He says, I request all my disciples and followers to read the Brahma Samhita very carefully, especially because it was translated and commented by my spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Now, so this is the request of Prabhupada, but we'll also look at the parts, like how Brahma Samhita has been laid out. Brahma Samhita is actually presented in six parts. Okay, I said it has 62 verses. We are doing only one chapter, and it has six parts. So the first portion is verses 1 to 5, and it is considered actually a very difficult part of the Brahma Samhita. But anyway, this establishes the supremacy of Krishna, Ishvara Paramakrishna. The first five verses talks about Krishna. Part B, the verses 7 to 21, actually it's 1 to 6 and then 7 to 21. 21 talks about process of material creation, and it is this part is also considered very difficult. And then part C is verses 22 to 28. The discussion is Lord Brahma appearing on top of a lotus flower, getting an inspiration to meditate. He gets the Gopal mantra from the transcendental Saraswati, not the Saraswati of this world, but the transcendental Saraswati, the consort of the Supreme Lord. And then he gets his second initiation from Krishna, the Kama Gayatri. So he gets two mantras. So that is discussed from verses 22 to 28. And then 29 to 55, part D, consists of the Govinda prayers and his realization on chanting the Gayatri, Kama Gayatri. After he receives the Kama Gayatri, the spiritual Goloka Vrindavan is revealed to him, and then he chants the Govinda prayers, like how every day in ISKCON, morning after Shringar Arati, we sing the Govinda prayers, Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami, as soon as the curtains open, right? So these prayers are actually from Brahma Samhita, and they begin much later, after Brahma gets his realization, after he gets initiated by Krishna, after he hears the Kama Gayatri, Brahma begins his prayers. So these are called as the Govindam prayers. So that is from 29 to 55. And then verses 55 to 60, I think I messed up the numbers. Anyway, the next set of the verses, he expresses the feelings of Krishna and Govinda. Yeah, correct. 55 to 61, he expresses his feelings of Krishna and Goloka. How he feels Krishna is and the beauty of Goloka. He expresses how he feels about it, about the spiritual world. And from 57 to 62, actually 55 to 57, only two verses he expresses his feelings. Then from 57 to 62, it is the conclusion, Lord Brahma is out of his trance, and then Krishna instructs him. Krishna gives his final instructions to Brahma and tells him what his sadhana is and what he must do. So this is the entire layout of Brahma Samhita, right from the declaration of Ishvara Paramakrishna, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the entire course of what Brahma goes through, and then finally the instructions that Krishna gives to Brahma. So these are the contents of Brahma Samhita. And Prabhupada, he tells us what happens when we read the Brahma Samhita sincerely. These are Prabhupada's words. If you read the Brahma Samhita, you will get complete description of the spiritual world, spiritual entities, the Supreme Lord and his associates. His country, pastimes, and everything is very nicely described. If we become very attached to such a place, then we can try to prepare ourselves to go back home, back to Godhead. That is the perfection of life, and that is the mission of Krishna consciousness. So basically, the goal of life is described in the Brahma Samhita, and if we take it seriously, we can seriously strive towards achieving that goal in Krishna consciousness. So this is about the introduction to Brahma Samhita. So if you have any comments, I request everyone to speak. And any questions, I don't know. So we have a lot of senior devotees here to answer all the questions. So if I know something, I will surely share. Thank you so much, Hare Krishna. From tomorrow, we can start the verses. And so we'll be referring to Jiva Goswami's commentary, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's commentary, and the different acharyas who have given, different maharajas who have given seminars on this topic from next class. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanvat Pranam. It's a wonderful class, Mataji. Mataji, I wanted to know, like, is it the similar type of the instructions what Krishna has given to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita?
No, it's not.
It's completely different, right, Mataji?
Yes, yes, very different. This is the highest truth. It's a condensed form of Bhagavatam, not of Bhagavad Gita. Yeah, it's very different. Yeah.
Is there any prerequisite, like before we start reading this, like do we need to read any other book, something like that?
There's only one prerequisite, Mataji, eagerness to hear, that's all.
Thank you so much, Mataji.
Yeah, thank you.
It's so much information, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji, for a very good introductory class. I'm really excited. We are actually excited to keep continuing to hear more from you. It's good that the best thing is I can sit comfortably and hear your all the effort that you put in the background to get the information from various acharyas and various commentaries. So obviously, at least speaking for myself, being a lazy person, I think I can have to take full advantage of this because it can be more easier than this. That is just one class per week. So I think I need to really take full advantage of this and make sure that I learn something out of it. So
I hope to Prabhu. I hope that even I get some proper information that I'm able to convey correctly.
Yeah, definitely be a good experience for everyone. I'm sure about it. Yeah, thank you for the class, Mataji.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Hari Bol, Mataji. Thank you so much for introduction, Mataji. It's very nice.
Hari Bol, Prabhu.
And I have one question, Mataji. You said about the different sections. Did you say five sections, Mataji?
I think it's six sections.
Can you list the sections again?
Yeah, it's okay. Here I go. I've written it down, actually. This was from Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj's seminar. So the part A is 1 to 5. It says it's the most difficult part of Brahma Samhita, talking about the position of Krishna. And then it says part B, 7 to 21, process of material creation, second part. Part C, 22 to 28, Lord Brahma appearing on top of the lotus flower, inspiration to meditate. He gets the Gopal mantra from transcendental Saraswati Devi. And the second initiation from Krishna, the Kama Gayatri, from Krishna's flute. Then part D, 29 to 55, Brahma, after receiving this thing from Krishna himself, he begins to recite the Govinda prayers, expressing his realization after chanting the Kama Gayatri. Then part E is 55 to 61. He expresses his feelings of Krishna and Goloka. And part 6, that is part F, is 57 to 62. Lord Brahma is out of his trance and then Krishna instructs him and tells him what his sadhana is and what he must do now. Is that okay, Pramod?
Yes, Mataji. Thank you so much. It's very beautiful. Gives the entire synopsis of the scripture, of this chapter. I think it's this chapter, correct?
Yes, just one section. Chapter.
Yeah. Chapter, okay. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you, Prabhu.
It was so nice, Mataji. So heavy in the introduction itself. So imagine, Mataji, how your main classes would be. Seriously waiting, Mataji. Mataji, I got one. Maybe I didn't hear properly. One question, Mataji. During the South India Yatra, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you linked that Yatra with his brothers, Vishwambar Prabhu, right, Mataji? Could you please repeat, Mataji? I didn't get that one. Why did he start South India Yatra?
No, he only said one reason. Actually, that was not the original reason, because Vishwarup had already passed away and he knew that Vishwarup had passed away. But many people didn't know that he passed away. Because Vishwarup was missing, he just wanted to give a reason to his associates to leave Puri and start on a Yatra, because his associates won't listen to him. If he says he's going from there, they won't let him go. So he just gave them a reason, saying that, oh, I have to go and search for my brother Vishwarup, so I need to go to South India, because he knew that at that time Vishwarup had actually taken sannyas previously and he had gone to South India and he actually left his body near Pandharipur. Saying that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that was an external namesake reason. He gave that reason and he left. But the actual reason why he went to South India is to, go and spread Krishna Bhakti. That is one thing. Second thing is to visit the holy places purify the place, visit holy places. And of course, bring certain scriptures that are very important in our sampradaya, like the Brahma Samhita. He also finds the Kurma Purana. He also finds, of course, we don't read the Kurma Purana much, but basically he just gets a particular part of the Kurma Purana to satisfy the request of Rama devotee. And then he also finds the Krishna Karanamrita, written by Bilva Mangala Thakur. So he gets all these scriptures from that.
So his
mission was actually threefold, but he just gave a namesake reason saying that he's going in search of his brother. But actually he knew that his brother was already gone.
Oh, sure, Mataji. Got you, Mataji. Understood, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Yeah, thank you, Prabhu.
Mataji, I also have a question.
Yes, Mataji.
If Brahma is the position, right, Mataji, then it means that anyone who does that required tapasya, they can attain that position, right, Mataji, like anyone in this material world. Who is that original Brahma, like when Krishna gives this instruction, then how come, anyone who achieves this tapasya can get a Brahma position actually?
I didn't get the question, Mataji.
No, Mataji. Brahma is a position like a demigod, right? Like, anyone in the material world, like doing that required austerities in order to achieve that Brahma's position, right? They can achieve it, right? Then who is that original Brahma when Krishna gives the instruction, right? Is he different from this position?
Mataji, so it works like this, okay? For every a Brahmanda or a universe, I won't use the word universe because it's very confusing, but for every, set of 14 universes, that a ball that emanates out of the body of Mahavishnu, there is one Brahma, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So this Brahma, actually he has got a very long life as compared to us. So he's got, say, 311 trillion, 40 billion years. Okay, so that's the length of the life of Brahma. So how is this Brahma chosen? How is this Brahma? How did this Brahma come? Or who's the soul that was given this designation of Brahma, you see? It can be any jiva who has perfected his activities of karma kanda in his previous life. It could be any person who has perfected Jnana Marga. It could also be a person who has perfected very good, who's done very good devotional service. Okay, very good bhakti. It could be anyone. Also, instead of being a jiva, it could also be the Supreme Lord himself. He might also take the post of Brahma. Anything can happen. Our current Brahma is actually not the Supreme Lord or something like that. He's a jiva. The current Brahma that we are. So we are talking about such a long length. And currently he's like 51 years old or something. In his 50th year or 51st year he's continuing now. So by the time a day of Brahma is over, we would have finished so many millenniums. So so you understand. So it can be, how is it desired? It's based on Krishna's decision, how he takes the soul. Actually, all this will be discussed in the future verses. The selection of Brahma and all we are going to see, actually. How Brahma is chosen. How different kinds of persons can become Brahma. All that we will see in the future. So all this is discussed in Brahma Samhita. The position of Brahma, the prototype Brahma. There is a prototype Brahma for all the universes, actually. There are separate Brahmas for each, universal egg. So all this we will discuss in Brahma Samhita. Everything is discussed.
Thank you, Mataji.
Okay, Mataji. Thank you.
I always have this doubt, when the person does this austerities, right, they can achieve this so-and-so position. How is this possible in this material world with this much contamination?
Mataji. Another thing is, in the age of Kali, everything looks so contaminated. Maybe in the previous ages, people had much more austerity abilities. So we have not seen that, right? So we don't know. How capable they are.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much.
And anyone else wants to add, because I think all of you are seniors, so please add if there is something wrong or if you'd like to say something more.
I think she means to you, Bhaktivinoda Prabhu.
Yes, Bhaktivinoda Prabhu and
everyone. Oh, no, Mataji. You are the senior. You covered introduction itself so nicely. There's nothing. What can we add?
Mataji, did you recorded this program? I mean, like, I lost the first 10 minutes, right? I will.
Oh, yeah, yeah, it's recorded. Don't worry, it's recorded.
What is that recording number, Mataji?
It doesn't have a number. Chandu Prabhu should, Junior Rishabhana should send us the link.
Rishabhana, RPS.
RPS should send us the link.
Mataji, I'll email this to everyone.
Okay, sure, Prabhu. Thank you so much.
And Devati Mataji, please keep this to yourself. Please don't show, do an announcement in the group if possible.
Prabhu, I won't do all those things, Prabhu. I don't have time to think about anything.
No, usually if the class is good and if you're excited, especially if it's from Preeti Mataji, I'm expecting you will be the first person to share. So
no, Prabhu. Don't worry.
I believe we can end the class, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so I think from next class, everyone, please add whatever you know. Please add to whatever is there.
Okay, so, Mataji, you're going to start from the first verse, right?
I'll start from the first verse. I'll listen to these seminars and I will see how much content is there. I think we can do only first verse because first verse itself has so much information, but let's see how it goes. Because Samaj Krishna Maharaj's discussions are very concise, but other Maharajas are more in-depth. So concise in the sense it's very crisp, I would say. It has like, within 15 minutes, he'll give you like 100 things you have to remember. He's very fast, yeah. So I'll put in everybody's and we'll make a masala and we'll discuss.
One more question, Mataji. I think I may have to ask this question later on in the course, or I'm not sure, but sometimes I've seen that after reading the first verse, they go to 30th verse or something, 30, instead of reading the verses between 1 and 30 or something like that. Do you know why it is like that?
Yeah, see, because we recite the Govinda prayers only, usually. Because those are the prayers of Brahma that after the revelation, he began singing those prayers. So that's why in the temple, we read only the Govinda prayers. We don't do all the 62 verses.
So what are the verses that are there between 2 and 30? I mean, what is the significance of those verses?
Those verses are in, like, you know, Brahma's prayers begins with a Govindam. I mean, it ends every verse. When he sings in praise of Krishna, it ends with Govindam Madhi Purusham Tamam Bhajami, Govindam Madhi Purusham Tamam Bhajami, like that he goes on and on. So then it's more like describing the universal affairs. This is the Supreme Lord, then this is how material creation begins. What is the position of each of the demigods? What do they do? All that is said, then about his position, he is Brahma, so and so. It's like, just flows like a particular way. And then he receives the initiation and then he begins to speak the prayers. So that's
Thank
what is discussed in the previous verses.
Thank you, Mataji.
Yeah.
Hi, Krishna Mataji. I think, again, star 9 to stop the recording, Mataji, I guess.
Oh, okay, Prabhu, I'll do that. Yeah. Okay.